Good to be in church this morning. Somebody say praise the Lord. Did we have a time here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Isn't God good to us? Give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Now why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, give them a big smile, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. What a privilege it is. Brother Brad Yance, turn this down just a little bit. Play it some more, children, if you will. Play it like you believe it. God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you, guys. God bless you, buddy. God bless you, boys. God bless all of you. Brother David, God bless you. Your outlaws are here today, so we can't hardly... Oh, teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Yes, they that wait upon the Lord, oh, shall renew their strength. Oh, they shall mount up with wings as an eagle. I want to read you something this morning before we look at our prayer request. I just want to give you a testimony that a wonderful brother sent to us. This is from Brother Junior Davis. I believe this will help your faith as we get ready to pray this morning. So I just wanted to give the church an update on how I'm doing. But first, I want to thank everyone for all your love and prayers. They mean so much to me. I am doing just wonderful. Somebody say praise the Lord. I have gained almost 10 pounds. I take no pain pills. I've actually been working some. I wish I had the time to tell you all the wonderful things the Lord Jesus has already done for me. He is so wonderful. My prayer that through this, I may be a witness for him. They have asked me not to be in crowds until they can get a white blood count. White blood cell count, which they will do tomorrow. Please help me pray that the count will be good so that I can come back to church. Brother Junior, give the Lord a big hand this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you this morning, Lord. Oh, isn't God good? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we just want to worship and thank God for that wonderful testimony and believe the Lord's helping our brother every day that he lives. Just believe that God's going to help him. And whatever happens, Brother Junior loves the Lord. And if he gets to stay with us, that's great. But if he gets to go home and be with the Lord, I'm kind of mad at him, ain't you? But I believe God's helping our brother, and we certainly thank the Lord for that wonderful testimony. Here's a prayer request this morning, an unspoken prayer request for my son. I want to commit that to the Lord this morning, whatever it is. Sister Irene Pierce sends this in to please pray for Mike Pierce. His kidney dialysis is not going very well. He lost blood today because his blood clotted up the machine and they could not get his blood back into him. We appreciate your prayers. Thank you and may God bless. Sister Joanne Tessa said, I would like for the church to pray for Sister Linda Jablonski. She is sick. Also pray for Sister Susan Olive. She called and asked for prayers for her back. So let's remember that need today. We'll continue to pray for Sister Linda Lawrence, that the Lord will give her a complete healing. Let's pray for that need today. Sister Martha Sacker sends this in to please pray for a 4-year-old named Hudson. He is very sick. The doctors are not sure what is wrong with him. He is being sent to St. Jude's. His mother does an incredible amount of volunteer work with cancer children and needy children around the Tri-Cities who are indirectly being affected by this need. So we want to commit that need unto the Lord today. Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Bill Yance, that the Lord would help our brother, give him a complete recovery. God is just so wonderful to us this morning. All of you, if we took the time for you to pass through here, what testimonies you could give as to what the Lord has done for you in your life. Best thing he ever done is saved you from a world of sin. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to join with us this morning. Brother Michael Salyer is here this morning, and I'm just amazed at what the Lord is doing for this young man. First thing he told me maybe 3 or 4 months ago, he's always been a bubbly kind of a young man. He walked up to me. He said, Brother Louis, guess what? He said, I got the Holy Ghost. I'd rather hear that than to say I won the lottery. I'd rather hear that than to say I own the whole world. I got the Holy Ghost. Oh, give the Lord a big hand this morning. Love you, buddy. Sure, absolutely.
Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just humbled, Lord, that we once again can be in your presence, Lord, gathered together with believers of like faith, Lord. And Lord, how true it is that each of us, Lord, have our own personal testimony, Lord. And Lord, it's just amazing how you just can give each and every one their own personal walk with you, Father. Lord, I hold these requests in my hands, Lord. You knew the requests before they were given, Lord. But Lord, we're just calling you, Lord, upon you, Lord, to ask you to be mindful of them, Lord. The little boy comes to mind, Father. Lord, how many times as a young child, Lord, and growing up looking back, did the devil try to take me off the scene, Lord, but you wouldn't let him. Lord, we just ask that you be with that child, Lord, as he's in the hospital, Lord. Lord, the brother on the dialysis, Lord, not only are you able to take him off the dialysis and make that work, Lord, but you're able just to completely, Lord, heal him from that, Father. Lord, we just ask you to be mindful of all the requests, Father. Lord, Brother Sherman's brother-in-law there in Virginia, Lord, comes to mind, Lord. Lord, the doctor said he only had 6 months to live, Lord. That's not what you said, Father. Lord, I just ask that you be mindful of that need, Father. I don't know where he is with you, Lord, but I just ask that you would just make him ready to meet you, Father, Lord, because you could heal him today, Lord, and we know he could die on the way home in a car wreck, Lord. And if he's not ready to meet you, Lord, then it doesn't matter, Father. Lord, we're just so thankful for what you're doing here, Lord. I just pray that you'll just continue to be with the congregation here at Happy Valley, Father. Lord, be with them at Faith Tabernacle today, Lord. Minister to their needs, Father. Lord, we've come to worship you today, Lord. We're just expecting to hear from you, Lord. Lord, help us to get ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you can speak to our hearts, Father. I know humans, Lord, our minds, they wander from here to there, Lord. But this morning, Father, help us just to stay glued on the minister, Lord, and to pull, Lord, from that gift you've given him, Lord, and just to draw from the waters of life, Father. Lord, we ask all these things, Lord, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Lord, just let your perfect will be done here today, Father. Amen. Well, I asked Brother Lou if it's all right if I give a little bit of a testimony. I Yeah, you can be seated. I won't give all the details. That would take too long, and I don't have the vocabulary and the words to describe what the Lord's done for me. But 6 months ago, something happened. And the first thing that happened, the Lord totally delivered me from drinking and smoking. When I turned 18, I started smoking. And the time I was 19, I was drinking at least once a week. And then I moved off to college, which was real convenient because I thought, you know, I didn't have to hide it from Mom anymore. I was going to be 150 miles away and church. I couldn't go to, I didn't have to make up excuses not to come to church. I was 150 miles away. Well, little did I know that there was a good message church 10 minutes from where I live. So the Lord delivered me on December the 4th, and on December the 9th, He gave me the Holy Ghost. And I can't explain most things that's happened between then and now. But I know one thing, and that is my desire to serve Him is my number one goal in life. And young people, if you are still in the world and looking for happiness, and you're looking for life out in the world, there is no life. There's no birds you're going to look that I haven't already looked. It's not there. There's nothing but death. And I tell you, when I got the Holy Ghost, I realized that I had got what I've been looking for my whole life. God bless you all.
Bless the Lord. That's enough to make an old man cry, Brother Terry. Praise the Lord. Well, God's just still doing, He's still doing what He's always done. People just let Him. He'll deliver them. He'll set them free. Amen. Let me make an announcement before we ushers. If you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us today in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Friends from down in Georgia, God bless you. Glad to have all of you here. Those that are streaming this service today, may God richly bless all those that are streaming this service as well. Now, the American Red Cross blood drive that we've been talking about to you just a little bit about, well, it's time almost for you to give your blood. So that's going to be at the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ on Tuesday, July the 16th from 2 p.m. until 7 p.m. Says your one donation can help up to three different people. Now, naturally, they didn't want everybody here at one time. So, what you can do, and we'll put this on, Brother Jimmy said to give this back to him, that this will be placed on the bulletin board. They have a website that you can go to and set up your appointment for whatever is convenient for you. Or you can see Brother Jimmy over in the library. One of those brothers over there will help you determine what time you need to be here so that it'll be convenient for you and it won't be an overflow for those that's drawing blood. So remember that. That's going to be on July the 16th from 2 p.m. until 7. This sheet of paper with the website can be by just looking at the bulletin board out here. It'll be available for you to do that. Are you glad to be in church this morning? Yes. Brother Michael's testimony just got all of us tore all to pieces, I can tell you. But I'm telling you this. God can change our lives. He has changed our lives. And He's still changing lives today. Aren't you glad about it? Let's stand up and sing a song this morning. I shall not be moved. How about you? Are you in this for the long haul? Are you in this for life?
Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Oh, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Love of
Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Brother David Siler is going to come and lead us in a song this morning. He didn't know it, but he does now. And his in-laws are visiting from Arkansas this morning. We're certainly glad to have them here. And I know Brother David's glad to see them. I asked him if his outlaws were in town. He said, well, yeah, they are. But it's actually his in-laws. And they're fine folks, and we love them. I want him to come and lead us in that song. He's working on a building. Yeah, we want to hear you do it one more time. We like it, don't we? I like to hear Brother David lead this. Sing it, buddy. Yeah, just sing it.
Well, he's working on the building. He's working on the building. He's working on the building. For my Lord, for my Lord. Well, it's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. I tell you what I would do. I'd preach the word with all of my heart, and I would work on the building. He's working on the building. He's working on the building. He's working on the building. It's my Lord, it's my Lord. Well, if I was a singer, I tell you what I would do. I'd sing the gospel with all of my heart, and I would work on the building. I'm working on the building. I'm working on the building. I'm working on the building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a Holy Ghost building for my Lord, for my Lord. Well, if I was a laborer, I'd tell you what. Scream and shout the victory, and I will work on the building. He's working on the building. I'm working on the building. I'm working on the building. For my Lord, for my Lord. If you're going in the rapture, let me tell you what I would do. I'd keep proclaiming the victory, and I'd work on the building. I'm working on the building.
Bless you. I'm going to let you be seated this morning. Brother David Swanson gets ready to give us a song this morning. Brother David, if you haven't got anything prepared, come and get something. We like that one that you've been doing awfully well. If you can't do that, it is well with my soul. That'll be good. We like to hear our brother sing, don't we? Love Brother David Swanson. God bless him. Give him a hand this morning. Let him.
Brothers, pull up it as well. All right, appreciate it. Well, When peace like a river attendeth my way. Oh, when sorrows like sea billows roll, or whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Yes, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. Oh, my sin, not in part, but the whole. Yes, it's nailed to the cross, and I'll bear Satan should buffet, though the trials should come. Oh, let this blessed assurance control. Oh, that Christ has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. When my faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, oh, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall
it is well.
it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Jack, you and Sister Betty will come real quickly, Brother Aaron. You'll come real quick. I want to sing one more song before Pastor comes to bring us the word of the Lord this morning. This is a song that used to sing a long, long time ago. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you more this morning. I know one thing. I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I do know this. He's able to see me through. You believe that with all your heart? That's the title of this little song. He'll see me through. F. Brother Jack wanted me to let you know that I'm just up here temporarily till Brother Taz gets his voice back. So we're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Amen.
He'll see me through. Yes, it's on.
I know how it feels to be alone, and I've lived many days without a song.
Hope is gone, and I cannot sing along. I whisper,
Jesus, and He'll always see me through. He'll see me through my darkest days and lonely nights.
He'll see
me through, for He's the way, the truth, and life.
The storms of life,
Lord, and I
don't know what to do. I whisper, Jesus, and He'll always see me through.
I'm glad I can count on that, aren't you? Let's stand this morning if you will.
And He made a way when there was no way. And He's my light, and He shines all the day.
But I'll not fear today, for I know He'll make a way. He's always there.
The storms of life,
Lord, I
don't know what to do. and you'll always see me through. I whisper Jesus, and you'll always see me through.
John chapter 4, verse 16. I spoke with Brother Jason Yance after the service last night, and also Sister Shirley, and I heard back from Brother Jason again today. Unless there's a great move sometime today, Brother Bill will be facing a surgery tomorrow, a procedure to put a feeding tube in directly into his stomach, I suppose. And also a trach here in his throat because he cannot breathe. So they're just asking us to pray that God will move for him and help him. And they're facing some real difficult types of decisions. And they just really wanted us to pray for him, that God will be merciful. We know our God's a miracle-working God, isn't he? So we want to pray for Brother Bill and also pray for the family, if you would. Let's read together 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is agape. Now there's several Greek words for love. Agapeo, agapeos, agape. And this one here is agape. God is agape, which is an unusual thing to say. Because one of the meanings of this word is brotherly love. So God is brotherly love. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love. And notice you can love and not dwell in love. But he that dwelleth in love actually dwelleth in God. That don't mean that you're there, you come and you go. You love sometimes and you're mad sometimes and you're aggravated, then you hate and then you love. But if you actually, your abiding place is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Now, as we said last night, the Bible does not say perfect love casteth out all fear. But it casts out the fear that has torment. That would be God working against himself to tell us to fear him and then turn around and give us perfect love and cast all that fear out. So it's fear that has torment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today in prayer? Oh, Lord Jesus. Fathers, we approach you today through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. We want to say, first of all, thank you for your many blessings to us, Lord. Your love that has been so great to us. Yet, Lord, we realize when we say it that way, your love, we say it in a sense of it's something that projected from you. But here John is pointing us to another sphere of love, that it's not actually just something from you, but it is you. I pray today that you would help us as we endeavor to have a greater walk with you. For many here today, they've been serving you for many, many years, living for you. Yet I'm sure most of them would acknowledge and say they desire a greater walk, a deeper consecration, more love of God and love for each other. Lord, we've made known our request, needs in our lives, by uplifting our hands. I've made known to the church today, Father, this need of Brother Bill Yance. Lord, and you see the situation that our brother's in, Lord, is still unable to swallow, and he can't breathe on his own, so they're wanting to cut this place in him, this trach, and make it where he can breathe, and then, Lord, send him for therapy, and hopefully be able to reverse this damage that's been in his throat. But, Lord God, we believe that you're a miracle worker. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you can reach down even now right there in that hospital room, Father. Move for our brother, Lord, where he wouldn't even have to have these procedures tomorrow. Lord, you see, he can't eat or he can't drink because he can't swallow. So, Lord, they have to do something. Lord, if you would be so kind to just come on the scene today, Lord. Move for our brother so this thing will have to be done. Lord, we don't understand all the things of life and all the things that we deal with or go through, so we're not going to try to tell you what to do, but we're just simply bringing a petition before you and asking you. And Lord, whichever way you decide to move, we'll not be disappointed, but I pray that you'd move for him. I pray for his family, his wife, Lord, talking to her last night, and she was just so torn up with the situation, decisions that facing them, Lord. I pray that you'd help them. I'm sure the church is still so troubled and tore up. Be a week tonight, Lord, that he was put in there. So we just pray that you'd help them, Lord. Be mindful of us here today, I ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. I wish to speak to you again today on no fear in love. This is not quite the same concept as the company that has made lots of money putting no fear on t-shirts, no fear on key rings, no fear on screensavers and all that type of thing. For many of them, the no fear they have, I'd rather have, because they don't fear God, they don't fear morality, they don't fear truth, but yet to understand that in the real maturity or the perfection of God's love, there lays a realm, a place to where fear is not actually allowed to trespass. And truly, in a heart that is endued with perfect love, mature love, fear would be a trespasser. Now, let me remind you of what we opened up with last night, that for a real child of God that is born of the Holy Ghost, and if we could ever move into that degree of perfect love of what God wants us to be, that you would realize you do not have to fear your past, you do not have to fear the present, and you do not have to fear the future. Because your life is so committed to Him that you believe that He will work out everything in your life, whether you understand it or not, whether it works out the way you think it ought to or not, but knowing that He is mindful of your situation. Now, I'd like to call your attention back again, if we can, to verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, remember, whenever the translators took the Bible, the King James Version that probably many of you read from, the 1611 version, that the Bible had been translated in many different ways, of course, down through different languages of people. And each language, the translators would try to take the Bible, whether it was going from the Old Testament, the Hebrew, or the New Testament, the Greek and Aramaic, and they would try to find a word that would be so close to the original language in their own language that would transmit the thought. So what they wanted to do was catch not only the words of the Bible, but the spirit of the book. So in that, sometimes whenever they would translate and they would go from one word to another, and when you go back to the original, you're saying, how in the world did they ever get that word to mean this? But yet in the Greek language, like the Spanish and many other languages, our language is the English language. From what I'm told from people who speak other languages, our language is not quite as descriptive. It's not quite as beautiful, so I'm told, as many other languages are. And it might take 4 or 5 different words in another language to be able to use one word in ours. So it shows you then in those other languages that they would be quite descriptive and maybe more fluent and describing a situation than what our English word would be. We'd say one word, it'd take 5 in Spanish or something to describe it.
So whenever the translators then were translating it into the English, into the King James Version, as we call it, then, you know, whenever they would take these words, and what you'll find here in verse 17 and verse 18, that they use the exact same English word, the word perfect, but in the Greek, it's not exactly the same word. Now watch, herein is our love made perfect, which is teleo, which is fulfill, complete, to carry through completely, add what is yet wanting in order to render a thing full. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now notice now in verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect, same English word, but the Greek word is teleos, which is man of full age, brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, full grown adult of full age. Now watch, whenever the word of God was written in order to bring not only instruction, but admonition and correction and enlightenment. Now think that John would write about the love of God that could be so mature in a person's heart that it would actually move from one degree to another. Now let's look at this a little bit so you see which way I'm going on this. John says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I love this word that he used. Casteth out, which is balo, which means cast out, to throw, or let go of a thing without caring where it falls. Now this is what perfect love does to fear. It don't pick out a nice, comfortable mattress for fear to fall on. It don't worry about where fear lands, if it lands in the water, in the rocks, on its head, on its nose. It don't really care. Now I'm going to tell you something. Perfect love has an aggressive attribute about it, but it knows how to express that expressiveness, that attribute, and where to express it at. So when perfect love actually gets rid of fear, it casts it out, which is the same word that is used for casting out demons. Now, if fear, this type of fear, was of God, then what it would do was it would give way or merge into this further work of God, which would be perfect love and perfect faith. But since it is opposite of perfect faith and perfect love, then what it does, it actually casts it out. It does not care where it lands. It does not care where it goes as long as it leaves. Now that tells me something about perfect love. Now notice this is why perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. And of course perfect love does not have torment. Now love is capable of many degrees, and love has many degrees. It's the same principle with faith, with understanding, with trust, with many other of the divine natures of God, how that they grow, of course, not in him, because he is the essence of perfection itself. But when it condescends from the person of deity himself, and then it evolves into the work of human beings, he starts it out in a very minuscule or small form. Then he will allow it to grow and grow and grow and grow until it becomes to the mature or manly state in the child of God's heart. Now this is one thing that I hope that God helps us to see today, is that whenever it is in the small miniature form, that God does not hate the individual, that love is very small in their heart, or their faith, or their trust, or their confidence, that God understands exactly where they are. Now he might rebuke a person who's been around for a long time, and they still have little faith or little love, and he might chide them because they have not went any farther, but he's not going to cast cast them away because at least they do love him. Now, you know, you might start out, let's say like this, with a love this small. As you grow and you become more mature, more consecrated, that love will grow from there to say here, on and on and on until it becomes greater and greater. And then the ultimate thing that God desires is that your love will fully mature. Even in fully mature love, no doubt there will be various degrees. It would probably be absolutely amazing if God could take every one of our love, our faith, our trust, our confidence, and all those things that's within us by His great achievement, and put it all up on a graph or a chart, and show us how many people here today, you know, it'd probably look like a seismograph machine. It would be up and down and up and down, and some of your faith would more just be, it'd go plumb through the roof. It'd nearly blow the top end off of the graph. And then some of your trust might be way down here. And then some of the other parts of you, it'd just be up and down and up and down. But you realize that we're not to compare ourselves necessarily to one another. Paul said that we do not stretch ourselves beyond our measure, nor do we compare ourselves by one another. I'm not your example, neither are you mine. Come on now, church, but Christ is our example. So what we desire to be is what God wants out of our lives. We know even with the apostles, that Brother Rand gives us a description of them, they were so diverse. Peter, a prayer warrior, or Andrew, rather, a prayer warrior. And Peter, a strong man of faith, and yet John being the disciple of love. But yet, didn't Peter have love? He did. But apparently John must have had a degree of love that was so deep that he was outstanding because of that love. And yet, others would say about Andrew, what a prayer warrior he was, and others, no doubt, their fervency of God was so strong, but yet if they would compare each other by one another, they wouldn't even look or feel like a Christian. So it's a great sign of maturity when we can look around to brothers and sisters around us. Maybe they excel us in desire. Maybe they excel beyond us in their fervency of love. But we realize God places folks in the body, and God actually equips them to where we can be complementary to one another. Aren't you glad? If we can understand it that way, instead of being jealous and having envy and strife of those that might excel, but look at yourself. God may gifted you to where you would excel in another area in your walk with God that they could not touch either. Oh my. Now what you notice Adam and Jesus when he was here, that he actually introduces this to us in the degrees. And let me read you this before we get to the scripture here. Now Brother Ben says it this way, perfect love casteth out fear. The reason that you're fearful is because the right temperance of love has never entered yet. The right temperance of love has never entered yet. Now notice, here is a very key to why many of us that have been around the message for years and years, serving God, Christians love the Lord, but yet we are still so fearful about so many things, because the right temperance of love has never entered into us yet. Now many of us try to replace it by prayer, we'll try to replace it by listening to tapes, we'll try to replace it by doctrinal things and believing this and that. You'll never replace the right temperance of love with a doctrine. You'll never replace it by theology. You'll never replace it by how long you've been around. Oh, I was in Brother Ram's meetings. That has nothing to do with your temperance of love. You could have been in many, many of Brother Ram's meetings and still not have enough love of God to be able to commit your life to Him, to give up worldly things. You realize that many folks in the denominational system, they love God. Don't tell me they don't, because they do. They do love God, but the right temperance of love has never entered in their heart enough to clean out their closet. It's never entered the heart to get rid of their country music or get rid of the worldly things. And some of them think they can love God and come out of the closet. Well, if you go into the closet, the prayer closet, you won't come out funny if you stay long enough. Amen. You won't come out with the idea, well, God accepts me this way. If He accepts one in this age, He'll have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. He's never accepted it, and He ain't going to start now. Because God ain't so hard up, He has to compromise in the end time to let anything and everything walk down streets of gold to have a full house. He will have a full house. But it will be a full house of quality and not so much quantity. Now, look at this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Well, Jesus speaking, wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Now this word little means trusting so small. So it's not believing. It's not just believing. It's trusting. Jesus didn't say, oh, you don't believe me, you don't believe me. He said, no, you don't trust me. Look at what he's saying. You believe that God can take care of the grass, God can take care of the leaves, and God can take care of all of that. And yet you don't trust. Your faith is little. Notice again, Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. This is, of course, Peter. And he said unto him, O thou of trusting too little faith. Now here is the Greek word that Jesus uses to describe little faith. A person who trusts God only a little. Now watch him in Matthew 8:10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great, which means large, abundant, intense. Now notice the intensity as it grows. Now notice the character of God. So it's revealed in faith that people can have little faith or people can have large faith. People can have faith that is not very fervent, not very intense. They believe God and they can believe him so far. They believe that God can save them, but they can't believe God will make them right. Or they can't believe that God can deliver them of some habit, and they'll go on and on and on for years in that kind of status quo because they just don't believe God can do it. Don't tell me they don't love God and don't trust God. They do, but only that far. Notice again, Matthew 15:28. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Praise be to God. Now, love then also can come in the same degree. Watch this in Luke 7:44. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So now notice then, a person can love God a little, or they can love God a lot. Now notice Jesus now in turn, he takes this on the basis of what they each perceive that they need forgiveness for. So if they look at themselves and think, I'm a pretty good guy. I've never robbed banks. I've never held up trains. I've never run over nobody. I've never stole nothing at Walmart. I'm a pretty good sort of a fella. I don't need much forgiveness from God. That person will never love very much. But you take a person that said, I was born lost, I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. Their need will transcend beyond the self-righteousness of the other person. And when they look and see what God forgave them from, they will be so in love with the Lord Jesus. Can't you see why many church members really don't fall in love with the Lord Jesus the way sometimes a lost, wretched person can? Because they really don't think they need that much forgiveness. I'm going to tell you something. If you lived on an island to yourself and you never said one bad word, you never lied, you never stole, you never done any of that, you need God's mercy, my friend. You were born lost. You were born in sin. Watch this now. This woman, being the epitome of great love, the vastness of great love, by recognizing her need. Now watch this. A believer who can experience love growing in confidence toward God, he will transcend beyond just normal Christianity, of accepting Christ as our Savior, believing that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. They will accept that and believe that. But somehow they enter into a degree of love. You don't know it as well as I do that this love, the human love, has the same way. You see, men and women that are husbands and wives and they love one another and they seem like that they're so in love with each other, and the older they get, the more that love binds them together. And you see, others are constantly fussing, constantly bickering back and forth. You know, and you think, oh my, I wouldn't want a marriage like that. And yet others have a marriage which you would envy because their love for each other is so strong. What is that? It's a stronger degree of love. You know as well as I do that there are people in your life that you love them so dearly. And there's other people in your life that you love. And you're dearly glad when they're dearly gone. And you hope they dearly don't want to come back too soon. Because they drive you and your dear nuts. But yet you love them, don't you? Oh my, Happy Valley, don't sit there and look at me like that. Now, do you love them? Sure. Do you love them to the same degree as you would this other person? That you could be with them, you know, every other day or every day or whatever it was. And your love for that person is so dear. And there's such a close friendship. And others, you love them with all of your heart. You never want to see anything bad happen to them. But you just don't enjoy being around them as much as this other person. Thank you, honest folks, for those amens. I appreciate it. Now, what's this in adoption? We read it last night, but let's read it again, paragraph 104. Listen, friends, how imperative this is. Thus saith the Lord. It'll take perfect love to put you in that place. This is 1960, after he's had the visitation to the sixth dimension. For that's all that was there. No matter how many religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you've done, whatever you've done, that won't count nothing. Amen. On that day, it'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, you lay aside everything. Amen. Now I realize I'm a very simple fella. But does everything still mean everything? Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page. You lay aside everything else until you are so filled with the love of God. Till you can love those who hate you. Now Paul, by the same Spirit of God, breaks into the divine fountain, the ocean of divine love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Now I want you to remember this as we approach this part. Brother Branham said, Satan cannot love. I'd wondered about this for years. But I found it this morning. Satan cannot love.
Amen.
Glory. Now Paul is going to write to the church at Corinth, which is, you know, you got to commend those folks there because they had some great, wonderful points about them. But yet there was a problem church. They had people that talked about one another. It's, thank God we don't have that in this church. They had folks that ran one another down, and they gossiped, and they had gift problems, which most like most message churches, we sure don't have that. They had all kinds of issues. Yet they had supernatural manifestations among them. They had faith where they could do miracles and signs and wonders. And Paul is inspired by the presence of God to bring to them a view of love that had never been written since the dawn of time. Now let's peer into his exposition here. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not agape, which is the exact same word that John uses for God. So though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not God, agape, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now, have any of you ever heard angels' tongues? Now, Now I want you to notice Paul is addressing this according to the needs in this church. They were real big on gifts. And no doubt the Spirit of God had fallen among them and they were speaking in tongues of men, which is what happened on the day of Pentecost. So the Spirit of God would come and this brother would raise up and he'd start speaking Greek. Thing of it was, he might have been raised over in Chaldea or somewhere where he never even heard one word of Greek in his life. And then it would raise on somebody else because Corinth was a port city. So there was an influx of people from all over the Roman Empire. So there would be people there that all they ever knew was Hebrew. And they started speaking Chaldee. Or they started speaking this or that or the other. Man, they said, oh, glory to God. Couldn't be denied that it was the presence of God. And some of them apparently had moved into a degree of speaking in tongues that was so supernatural, it was beyond human language. That they actually, by the anointing, had broke into a language which is superior to human beings. The tongues of angels. Boy, wouldn't we think that person was something. Man, we look at them and we hear somebody speaking in tongues. Say, Lord, have mercy. He don't even know good English. Much less what language is he spoiled. Glory to God. That man, I'll tell you what. That man what? That man could do that. He could speak Greek. He could speak Aramaic. He could speak Hebrew. Maybe didn't even pass a language in English. But yet he could get so anointed. How could it be? Because his faith could be so released believing that God could do that. He could actually go a step further and break into the language that angels speak in heaven. And let the Spirit of God speak through his lips. Angelic tongues. And still not be right. Now watch. You argue with Paul about it. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You mean this man is not the greatest, most spiritual person you've ever known? Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Cymbals are very hard to make. The Zildjian family pretty much has held a understanding and a perception of the sound of cymbals for many, many years. Sabian and other people have now broke into it and kind of cracked the code. But what to you may look like a very simple thing. But you've got to have so much of this type of material, so much of that type of material, whether or not you can see it, these symbols up here are also have rings around them. Those rings being spun in the cymbal is one thing that gives the resonance and the tone and how they sound. Of course, the more time that they put into it, the more expensive that it is. But yet none of these cymbals, no matter how nice they are, how big, whether they are large or small, whether it is the hi-hat or the crash, none of them can say words. And to an untrained ear, they would all sound alike. Now to someone who does not know a good cymbal, you could crash a several hundred dollar a Zildjian cymbal or a Sabian or a cheap Chinese made and they would not know the difference. Now can you imagine a man of God likening a person that was gifted to speak in foreign languages and speak in languages that angels talk, and if he does not have perfect love, he's no more than a man taking a drumstick and crashing a cymbal. And it sets her and quivers because of the vibrations. And the sound goes out. And fades into time. And you don't hear it after a bit. Praise the Lord. Now let's look in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Now, either to foretell future events, as Balaam and other prophets did, or even Caiaphas, that could prophesy about what the Lord Jesus must do when he himself is going to be part of that prophecy, prophesying his own destiny. So it's possible that a person could prophesy, though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries. Oh, now we're going to perk up, ain't we? Now, prophecy we don't know much about. Tongues of men and angels we don't know much about. But now, mysteries! Boy, this is where the message, folks. This is our cliche. Can you imagine this man said, I could understand all mysteries? Look at the word mysteries. Mysterion. Hidden things. Secret. Religious secrets. Confided only to the initiated. Not to ordinary mortals. A hidden or secret thing not obvious to the understanding. A hidden purpose or counsel, secret will of men or of God. The secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous. Mysteries refer to the deep counsels of God, hitherto secret but now revealed. Have supernatural wisdom as to understand all the secrets of God. So a person could be absolutely so endowed with an understanding of mysteries and still not love folks. Don't you understand? Each of these avenues have their own course by which they go. But in the end, they all merge together into the completion of what God wants it to be. But a person can really emphasize on one main thing and leave out all of these others because that's his preference. That's what he really wants. And for most of us, signs, wonders, feelings, and God, that don't mean nothing to us nowhere. We don't even believe in the supernatural no more. Well, let me say that for a lot of messages, folks, anyway. We do. I said we do. But a lot of message folks speak in tongues, a man speaking in tongues, a man in angels. Ah, they laugh at it. They blaspheme it. I try. They hear a man speak in tongues, they blaspheme it. But oh, you're going to talk about mysteries to us now. Wow. Man, that's what I want. Yeah, Paul said a man could understand this would be the greatest preacher in the message right here. This would be the greatest man right here. He might be as mean as the devil himself. But that don't really matter. He might have such bitterness in his heart. He might have such grievance about him. The Holy Spirit can't even stand to be around him. But because he's focused on the mysteries. It's like he's broken into an avenue. His whole life, everything pours. He's vehement about mysteries. Oh, it's just all my, just soul, that's his life. But then these other things, of course, are trivial. Love, mercy, being kind. Can't you see how far off the scripture we've become, friends? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge. Insight into the deeper meanings of scripture. I thought a person couldn't do this. Unless they had the fullness of God. We thought wrong. Boy, you folks is quiet. Now you imagine a person could prophesy. And still not have true love. They could actually understand such things that would hold you spellbound when they spoke them and still not have agape love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch, let's move on down. Though I have the gift of prophecy, I understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith. So that I could remove mountains and have not. Now the English translators again, look what they, the word they used. Charity. I am nothing. Now this is the same Greek word though. Agape. Now what makes it confusing is when we think of the word charity, we think of Goodwill, Red Cross, Salvation Army. donation to charity. That's not what Paul is saying. It's not being kind to folks and you doing this and doing that and the other for folks, but it's the very person of God living in your heart in such a way that He dominates your life and cast out all fear with torment. Now, look, that Paul says that a person could absolutely have what is termed as miraculous faith or special faith, in that they would be able to believe God for the supernatural. It's almost like it's as easy for them as eating banana pudding. I mean, they can just reach out there. Folks come up and they're sick and they're this and that and the other. And they just like they've got the access to that. They can reach into there and pull in there and pray for them and God will heal them. And they themselves may live like a devil. And yet people will look, well, Brother so-and-so, pray for me. Brother so-and-so, don't you tell me he's not a servant of God. Don't tell me he's not this and that and the other. And yet they've learned that one avenue and they submit so much to that one avenue, and people then will make excuses for all the 97 other things around them that ain't right. So Paul says I could have special faith. Faith of miracles. Faith of miracles does not necessarily comprehend a whole Christ. But it displays that part of the Christ which they love to emphasize. You notice folks that are very quiet in church and don't believe in much emotion. They love that psalm where it says, be still and know that I am God. What if folks are more emotional in church? They love that psalm that says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout. When the Holy Ghost in our hearts should be able to say amen to both. There's a time to be still and a time to shout. So I need the Holy Ghost to lead you when to know to shut up and when to scream out. But a person could so think and be moved in this direction that faith and miracles and supernatural, oh my, oh yes, yes, and God will work through them. And they will be able to see such effects in their life out of this aspect and be as mean as a snake. Rude, indifferent, arrogant. Watch this. Paul said, though I have to get the prophecy, understand all miracles, all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am. And the word charity is love in action. It is not simply an emotion. It is the heart reaching out to others. Now watch. In verse 3 he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Man, you'll tickle Goodwill to death if you're going to do that. The Salvation Army, they'll make you a co chairman of the whatever board. Do you understand? You could turn over your house, every car you've got, your bank account, your suits of clothes, everything you've got. And God would look at it as if though you gave no more than this bottle of Gatorade. If you don't do it from a heart full of charity. This is the kind of love that casts out fear. Can I go on? Can y'all handle a few more minutes? All right, I just want to make sure. I don't want them ambulances lining up there to rush y'all to the ER all at one time. The way some of y'all looking, I don't know. Now notice though, I bestow. Now Paul didn't say the IRS is going to take it from me. Bunch of crooks, they ain't got no right taking nothing from us no way, the mess they're into. But he said, though I willingly give, I will stand up and say, I'm going to give everything I have. Now, if you've got a box of Pop-Tarts and a Coke, and you're living in a pop-up 5x7 tent, that wouldn't be much of a sacrifice for you. But if you had a lot of goods and a lot of stuff, and you'd say, I'm walking away from every bit of it today, Your name would be in the paper. They'd start a foundation after you. Why, people would say, my, look at this man. How great. How wonderful. But what does God say about that man? Do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? And though I give my body to be burned. Now this is quite amazing. Because when Paul writes this to the Corinthian church, they are not burning people. The way of death was crucifixion, or if you're a Roman, beheading. Nero was the one who started burning folks. A long time thereafter. So watch him prophetically. Setting forth that there would come a time, and you know, after Nero's time, even unto the Inquisition, even up to Bloody Mary, it was the death of choice to burn folks at the stake. Yet at this time, it was not even heard of. So Paul setting it forth and showing, which is the most horrible death that they could pick out for an individual. And Paul said, though I, now notice how he writes this, he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give, it's not like they're coming and grabbing you and taking you to the post and tying you there. You're all actually walking out there and say, I will give myself a burnt offering. I'm afraid, friends, this is something that we don't comprehend very well. That self-sacrifice can still be self-centered. We think when we're giving ourselves and of ourselves that it cannot be self-centered. But this proves that theory is totally wrong. Self-sacrifice can still be self-centered. But people console themselves. Well, I do this and I do this and I give up and I give up. But why are you doing it? What's the reason of doing it? What's the motive? Is it from a heart filled with love? Or is it just human compassion? Well, I feel sorry for people. That's the wrong reason. We don't give our goods to feed the poor just because we feel sorry for people. We do it because our heart is filled with divine love. Which goes beyond feeling sorry for people. Well, you may have to go back and listen to this a time or two again. Notice this. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me. How much? Nothing. You mean zero. So a person could have went up to the post, stood there silently, let them tie their hands or feet, said, I don't need a mask. I'm doing this for the right cause. And as they light the fire, and the heat's moving closer and closer, the hair begins to singe on their bodies. And the heat begins to move toward the skin. And the skin begins to draw. And the flesh begins to catch on fire. The feet first, then the legs. And as it moves up into the body. And the last thing you remember is the smell of smoke. And your body engulfed in such flames that you actually pass out. Then you awake in the resurrection. You stand before the Lord God at the white throne judgment. And he says to you, depart from me into everlasting fire. So the last thing you remembered was fire. And your destiny is still fire. But Lord, I gave my body. I willingly walked up there. But why did you do it? You wanted to be a page of the Fox's Book of Martyrs? You wanted folks to know what? Did I command you to do that? Did I anoint you to do that? You see, a person can give their goods and give their body, but if they give it without their soul, it means nothing to God. So that's why that the widow's mite can be more in the eyes of God than a rich man's millions. Why? Because the widow gave the mite from her soul. She gave all that it wasn't. Oh my. It wasn't that she was doing it so everybody would take note of her. She didn't know Jesus was going to say that about her. She didn't know it was going to be recorded in the Bible and preachers would preach about it for thousands of years. But she gave it from her soul. And when it comes from the soul, the least offering can be more notable in the eyes of God than the big man who gives from his abundance. And God don't even look at it. He don't even acknowledge it. Whew. Can I go a little farther? Can y'all handle a little more? Now remember this. Self-sacrifice can be self-centered. And a person is still getting something out of it themselves, which is more predominant than if God told them not to do it. No, I've got to do this. I've got to. Go ahead. I just hate for you to stand up there that day and on your account is zilch. Because you did it from you instead of from him. I wish preachers could understand this. That for a preacher, it's not doing the most for God is how many times you're out gone. How many meetings you preach. How many places you go? How many stamps have you got on your passport of foreign countries? What difference does that make if God never led a man to go? What good does it do? Well, I went over here and I went over there and I went over there and I went over there. Yeah, how many of those guys would stay home if they didn't call everybody to go preach for them? Uh-oh! Come on, friend. I would rather preach 5 times a year and be in the will of God than preach 75 times a year and be in the will of Donnie. I'd rather sing 5 songs a year if I was a special song person here at this church and be really a blessing to the church and sing every weekend just to prove my vanity. Why? Because we think more. That's the way we think in our mind. It's not always that way in the eyes of God. Now watch Paul going to the descriptive part. Now a little bit deeper of what charity is. Charity suffereth long. Now remember, the Corinthian folks have got very little tolerance for one another when they cross over what they believe. So he wants to choose the attributes of God reflected through charity that'll help correct where they are. So he says, charity suffereth long. It was necessary for them to understand this about the love of God so it would help ease the contention and the strife that was among them. Because there was jealousy in the church. Envy in the church. Now watch, the word that Paul uses here denotes slowness to anger or passion, so it's long suffering, patient endurance, forbearing. It is opposed to haste, to passionate expressions and thoughts, and to irritability. It denotes the state of mind which can bear long when oppressed, provoked, culminated when one seeks to injure us. Now this is not natural to any of us. Oh me, Brother Donnie, you liar! Every one of us have got our spot to where our love runs out. Our forbearance, our long suffering, our endurance. I mean, all it takes is the right person to push your buttons. You feel like an elevator, except you don't want to stop. You're on the 127th floor and you're still going. You want out of here. But charity, a person who surrendered to the Spirit of God, it has absolutely no limits. It can so forbear with one another that it don't even make sense. It can forgive when it seems like it's absolute insanity. So Paul says, charity suffers long. You say, what has this got to do with fear? I'm trying to show you where we are. This is why we still have so much fear. Because we lack in these little attributes that make up this colossal imagery of charity. So we want to get all fear away. I want to get rid of this old fear of cancer. I want to get rid of this fear of this and fear of that and the other. But first of all, you got to find out what love is. And find where we are short so we can move up so we can drive this out. So charity suffereth long. And is kind. To be good natured. Gentle, tender, affectionate. It wishes well. It is not harsh, sour, or ill-natured. The idea is that under all provocations and ill usage, it is gentle and mild. I think I'll turn this into a marriage seminar. So brothers, charity will help you eat that burnt bread for the 3,987th time. Some of you brothers, are you good at scraping the black off your bread? Charity is kind. Oh my. Friends, I hope you can see where we are. Can't you see why we're no further up the road? Because we have emphasized on things that Paul said, without this is nothing. And we have made them everything and made this nothing. As if though this doesn't even matter. Well, this is true, but this is not deep. I don't know that you can get any deeper. Because this is really who we are. A man who truly loves another will be kind to him, desirous of him doing good. Will be gentle, not severe and harsh. Will be courteous because he desires his happiness and will not pain his feelings. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. The word means to be jealous for or against any person or thing. The sense is that love does not envy others for the happiness which they enjoy. Brother Michael, could we please make that amen type after service today? Now I want you to listen to this, friends. And I want you to ask yourself, can you do this? It delights in the welfare of others. In their happiness increased by their endowments, their rank, their reputation, their wealth, their health, their domestic comforts, and their learning. Real charity does not cause an envy because this guy makes more than you. Or he lives in the ridges and you live in the hollers. He lives in a 5,000 square foot and you live in a 300 square foot cave. Real charity can say, God bless you, my brother. I'll be praying for you. Hope you enjoy it. I'll wait for mine on the other side. Real love, now notice what this will do. Envy always comes in the ranks that you are called in. That's why deacons will struggle with envy against another deacon. Preachers will struggle with envy against another preacher. Or song leaders or musicians will struggle with envy against another musician. Or drummers or on and on and on and on. Mothers and piano players and violinists and on and on and go. You ever find a deacon that's that much jealous of a preacher? Ever find a ditch digger that's that much jealous of some other kind of man that does something totally different? But if he hears about another ditch digger that can ditch dig diggers faster than he can, he's mad. He can stand and dig the dishes. He don't sweat near as much as I sweat. Something wrong here somewhere. He can't help it because his mom and daddy give him that metabolism. So envy works in its own class. Remember all that when you folks post on trash, I mean Facebook. Ha, 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 ha. So in other words, a converter guy can look at another converter guy, and if he's got the love of God, if he makes 18 digits a year and he only makes 5, the love of God in his heart will not allow him to envy that man. If a special singer gets up and only 32 people clap, and another singer gets up and 37 claps for those, that in the love of God in their heart will not allow them to be jealous. If a preacher preaches a meeting and there wasn't but 13 there, and some other preacher preaches one, there's 1,300 there, the love of God in his heart will not allow him to be envious or jealous. Friends, I'm not talking about something I made up. This is what the Bible says. The love of God, the real love of God, and I'm talking about when it comes to its mature level. Is this in baby form? It is not. Is this in teenage form? It is not. It's when it reaches its maturity. Honestly, can you watch your own peers, deacon to deacon, trustee to trustee, singer to singer, musician to musician, preacher to preacher, can you watch God bless a person so much? We'll say with a preacher with more anointing, more understanding, more gifts, more doors, on and on and on and on and on. And you can say, praise God. Praise God for one among our ranks that way. Or do you go to looking for fault and flaws? When it's not to expose truths or sin, it's your envy. Let's stand. Boy, y'all didn't wait on that, did you? Man. Whoa. That's the fastest you folks have moved in 27 years when I said, let's stand. I was on Jesus and sat back down. No. Think of it, friends. Where are we on the chart? Where are we on the 1 Corinthians 13 graph of perfect love? That's not for me to judge you. It's not for you to judge me. It's for us to look at each other's hearts. You look at yours, I look at mine. Paul says, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Oh my. It is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Why would he put this in the feminist gender? Why would he put this in the feminist gender? Can't you see what this is? This is the love spirit from God. She. Don't you understand where this belongs then? In she. God help us. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Now before we pray, let's just bow our heads if you would. And I want you to think now about you. And you think you have this fear and this fear and that fear and that fear of so many things, tormenting type fear, I mean. You've asked God to deliver you from it. Maybe you've had ministers to pray for you. You may have fasted or whatever more. But your friends, there's only one thing that'll drive tormenting fear out of our lives. And that is mature love. And mature love consists in all of these attributes, which I've read a few of them to you this morning. So it's long-suffering, it's kind, it's gentle, it thinks not of its own self, it doesn't envy those who are more blessed. I'll tell you, if you can find a preacher that can amen another preacher and pray for another preacher when God's blessing him above him, you found a great treasure from God. If you can find a deacon, a song leader, a musician, an organ player, a piano player, a guitar player, whatever more, and they are content with being what God made them. They may not be the best, They may not excel when it comes to the most world renowned, but they're happy being what God made them. Most of the time, probably most of you have no idea where your spare tire is in your vehicle. Most of them anymore don't even look like a spare tire. They're that little bitty guy. It goes unnoticed. You put groceries on top of it, watermelons and cantaloupes in the summer, all sorts of things in the winter. You wouldn't even know where to look unless you had a flat. And then you hope and pray that little thing is up. And then all of a sudden it becomes so important to you. But would you want to run around all the time? No, you wouldn't, because it's dangerous, first of all. It's not designed for you to run all the time. It's designed to help you in trouble. And once it gets you out of trouble and you get to the gas station, the filling station, or Goodyear, wherever it is, and they fix your tire, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to take it home and idolize it, put it in the living room and make a trophy to it. You're going to put it back in that secret compartment and hide it away again and lock it down. And maybe next year or 5 years from now, or maybe never, you may trade your vehicle before you ever even pull it out again. Or you may never pull it out before you trade. Why is it that we so resent that if we're made that in the body of God? May God help us. Do we want rid of our fears? Do we? I'm asking you. Do we want rid of our fears? We must grow up in perfect love. I may like to be remembered today in prayer. I'll raise both my hands. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray for me. Lord Jesus, these things are overwhelming. I know many of us have read these and we've heard it preached for years and years in our walk. But Lord, as I've sat and studied them over the last few weeks, yesterday and today early, Lord God, I realize I need to grow more. I don't want these things to be a little creek in my life, but I want them to be a flowing river. I want to be kind. I want to be long-suffering. I don't want to be envious. I don't want to have a godly jealousy, pride, or arrogance. But I want perfect love. For it is thus saith the Lord, I must have it to go in the rapture. We thank you for mysteries. We thank you for tongues of men and angels. We thank you, Lord, for knowledge. We thank you for faith. We thank you, Lord, that there's something in us that wants to give to the poor to help folks. But Lord Jesus, may we always give from the right source. If they don't get nothing else out of this service today, may that one little simple line ring in their heart. That they will not make self-sacrifice self-centered. Help us, Lord. Some people get their something out of life by sacrificing themselves. It brings them something, a satisfaction, a recognition. But Lord, help us to see, as long as it's self-centered, there's no reward. Lord God, we want to give and do everything we do from the focal point of charity. Agape love. Lord, help me. You gifted me, Lord, back in Pentecost to have faith, to believe for miracles. I saw you straighten out cross eyes. Lord, I've shared it with them before. I've seen a woman come through the prayer line in a tent in Hazard, Kentucky, praying for her brother. Cancer was in his head. It had eaten on his skull till his skull was like a marshmallow, she described it. No hope for him to live. But the next day, they come back to the meeting and said that man had went home from the hospital and his skull had been miraculously restored. His brain had been turned back to it was before the cancer ever struck him. Lord God, Brother Chuck was with me one night when an angel of God appeared outside the tent. He remembers that fear, that awe that we felt.
somehow I could believe for those things. But my avenue of agape love, I didn't have it. Lord, help us to see. You don't want us to excel in one of these things. You want us to excel in them all. Help us not to pick out our favorite, but may they all be our favorites. Maybe we can stand today and look at ourselves and say, well, I excel here and I excel there, but this is my weakness. May we realize a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Help us, Lord God. I thank you for this today. I thank you for sending your word. It cuts us, beginning with me. But Lord, it encourages us because it lets us know you want us to move higher. Hallelujah. I accept the challenge today, Lord God. I accept the challenge. There's a deeper walk. There's more love for me to have. There's a deeper degree that you want me to enter into, Lord God. Hallelujah. Never outlove the Lord. Everybody, I want to live the way He wants me to live. Yes, Lord God, until there's just no more to give, I want to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never outlove the Lord. Everybody, make this your affirmation. I'm going to live the way He wants me. And make this the second line of your affirmation. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. And the third line, I'm going to love. Gentle, forgiving, holding no grudges, driving away all fear that has torn in, loving those who hate you. I want, yes, Lord God. Oh, God. No more love. I could never, ever outlove the Lord.
The way He wants me. I want to hear, Lord Jesus, until there's just no
I wonder how many of you have let Satan rob you from your two mites of worship. Or your two mites of even in the way that you enter into the service. Because you compare that to someone else. And well, I don't do it like them and I don't do it like them. So if I don't do it like them, I won't do it. You should not do that. You should worship, you should adore, you should love, you should praise Him in the way that He has called you and administered to you. You understand that the bride actually administers the word back to Jesus. Why does he need the word? You know, Brother Ben said that in question answer 64, that the bride ministers the word back to Christ. In what form? In Bible form? In tape form? Does the bride bring the Jesus, the tapes? Does the bride bring Jesus the word in software? The bride brings Jesus the word made flesh. So you minister to him what the tapes cannot. What the Bible cannot. What? Then that word made flesh in you. So if you got two mites or three mites or no mites or whatever you got, you want to give it to him with all of your heart. From a heart that is so filled with charity. Not of self-centeredness. Oh, I worship because I'm this and the other. You realize much of that is self-centered? Many preachers go and go and go and go and go. And it's self-centered? We want to deny self and we want to offer self. But we want to do it from a heart so full of charity that God accepts it. I don't want to give my life, friends, and give millions of dollars over the years of the ministry and it be done out of self-centeredness. And me stand before Him at that day and say, I never knew you. But Lord, I built churches all over. I've done. It'd be worth this. You love him?
Amen.
With all your heart?
Amen.
Nickels worth? Quarters worth? Dollars worth? This is how much he loved you. This is what he wants back from us. All that we are. I appreciate him for so many things, but I want to say this today. I appreciate him for being so long-suffering with me. If I live in a month or two, a couple months in July, I'll be 57 years old. Wow, that's ancient, ain't it? And I've been serving him since I was a 12-year-old boy. And I thank Brother Bill how patient he's been with me, how ignorant I've been. Oh, my goodness. And yet his patience continually reaching out and reaching out, helping me to grow and grow. Even to this very weekend, he has helped me to grow more, to understand him more, to want to love him more, and be more submitted. Let's sing together Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Trust you enjoyed the weekend. Trust it was a blessing to you and it helped you in your walk with God. Amen.
God bless you. For those that are local, we'll be having service here on Wednesday nights. Want to come expecting the Lord to speak to us once again by His Word. Let's sing it together as we go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Was blind, but now, thank God I can see. Praise God, praise God.